Hello friends, I am now going to record the second next chapter, Character Writers of the 17th Century. Introduction. The 17th century character was a new English force form. Sir Thomas Overbury, one of the important 17th century character writers, defined it as a picture, real or personal, quaintly drawn in various colors, all of them pretended by one shadowing. A character is a very sort a thumbnail sketch of an individual who is much more a type than an individual. The intention of the character writer is generally reformative, and his instrument has satire and wit. The character sees David Dacey in A Critical History of English Literature, Bold First, in a noted comma, is essentially a portrait of a type rather than an individual, often done with an almost exhibited wit. In order to come closed, the progress of the character in England is marked by a gradual shift of emphasis from the typical to the individual qualities of the person dealt with. Theophrastus. Like most English literary genre, the character was imported from abroad. The model for the English character writers was the Greek psychologist Theophrastus, 372-287 BC, whose ethical character comprised brief character sketch of some 30 vicious or unpleasant Athenian type, done in witty but bitter prose. Theophrastus first came to be known in Latin translation in 1592 and in English in 1660. It is possible that Theophrastus wrote some character of virtuous types also. However, only the characters of evil or unpleasant type have come down to us. He composed his characters in accordance with a set formula. He starts every character with a very brief description of the vice he is going to handle: flattery, cowardice, talkativeness, superstitiousness, etc. After that, he goes on to describe a typical processor of that vice and his action under its influence. Any reference to the strictly individual peculiarities of the person concerned is conspicuous by its absence. For illustration, let us quote her the beginning of the character of the distressful man. Distressfulness is disposition to suspects all men of dishonesty. The distressful man is this sort of man. When he has sent one of his slaves to buy provisions, he sends another one after the first to find out exactly what they cost. In traveling, the carrier his own money and sit down every few hundred years to count it. The virtue of character writing was initiated in English by Joseph Hall and was carried forward by the distinguished character writer Overbury and Earl right up to the age of the Restoration, when it died a natural death after having outlived its appeal, the utility. Let us now discuss briefly the work of the more important of the 17th century character writers. First, Joseph Hall, 1574-1655. Joseph Hall is credited with the naturalization of the new prose form, the character, in English literature. His work, entitled Character of Virtuous and Vices, come out in 1608. He doubtlessly took Theophrastus for his model, but it is possible that as Tucker Brooke observed in a noted comma, his immediate inspiration was found in the incidental character sketch that Ben Jonson had introduced in Every Man out of his Humor, 1599, and Cynthia Revel, 1600. Ben Jonson's humors are also predominantly types, but whereas he adopted dynamic method of the dramatist is unfolding them, the character writers He, like Hall, used the synthetic and descriptive method, but the moral aim is shared equally honest by the dramatist and the prose writer. Hall's character of virtues and vices consists of two books. Books 1 deals with virtuous types, in bracket, such as vicious man and honest man and true friend, bracket close, and book 2 with their vicious counterparts, in bracket, such as the malcontent and flatter and unscript, bracket closed. On the whole, Hall is more successful with vices than with virtuous. Let us now compare Hall's approach and execution with those and Theophrastus. First, Hall's sketch are somewhat longer than Theophrastus, in spite of the fact that he was called by his contemporaries our English Seneca for his pact and rhetorical expression. It has to be admitted that his characters lack comparison, as also the artistic selection and rejection of traits which distinguish Theophrastus' works. Secondly, Hall's, as Tucker Brook says, intensified the moral tone. He was a clergyman. David Dessay observed, and in noted comma, he is less the witty observer of men than the Christian moralist speaking to improve his readers by warning or examples. Bracket close, inverted comma closed. His egregious moral bias finds expression in his poem to book 1. Virtue is not loved enough because her loveliness is sacred. What need we more than to discover the true to the world? This work shall save the labor and exhorting the disillusions. Thirdly, his characters are rich in a peculiar. Thirdly, his characters are rich in a peculiar kind of wit, which is entirely his own. For illustration, see the end of the character of the busybody. He knows not why, but his custom is to go a little about and to leave the cross still on the right hand. One event is enough to make a rule. Out of these rules he concluded fashions proper to himself, and nothing can turn him out of his course. If he has done his task, he is safe. His matter not with that affection. Finally, if God would let him be the craver of his own obedience, he could not have a better subject as he is. He cannot have a worse. Fourth, lastly, Hall's sketches are characterized by crude and unpolished vigor, the same which we find in his satirical verse Virgide Miram, Virgide Miram. Sir Thomas Overbury, 1581-1613. Hall's work did not achieve any notable popularity. It was Overbury who first distinguished himself in the field of character writing. He died in the Tower of London in 1613 in quite mysterious circumstance. A year after his death, a publisher brought out his poem, A Wife. The second edition of the poem was supplemented by 22 prose characters said to be the work of Overbury and the other learned gentlemen, his friends. The next 3 months saw the publication of no fewer than four more editions, and the number of characters increased from 22 to 83. Among the anonymous contributor were famous writers of their times, such as John Donne, the poet, and Dacre, the Webster dramatist. His work achieved and maintained remarkable popularity. 14 editions were published in the following half century. Let us now discuss some of the important features of Overbury characters. The first, Overbury characters are considerably shorter in length than Hall's. Most of them run to under 300 words. Second, Overbury does not portray his characters to view them from an abstract moral position, nor is his aim preeminently performative. He is interested rather. Nor is him aim preeminently reformative. He is interested rather in the presentation of contemporary types. However, he was a courtier and as such had open contempt for the commonality. Hardin Crease observed in a history of English literature edited by himself in noted comma, Overbury was a courtier and an acute and acrimonious observer of man and manners. His essays are the product of a circle of wits who profess a scorn of the ordinary and the commonplace in human life. Bracket noted comma closed. Third, Overbury, unlike Hall, did not make any formal division between virtue and vice. This, as Tucker Brooke observed in his literary history of England, edited by Albert C. Vaux, helped in achieving greater naturalness and a more pleasant diversity. However, that does not mean that he is blind to moral considerations. He does, like Theophrastus and Hall before him, have a didactic and reformative aim which he tries to release through witty satire. Fourth, his satire and wit are more sophisticated than Hall's. They have much more of literary and artistic quality. According to Lewis, it was Overbury who gave this genre the character, a really literary character. Mark the telling pungency in his description of the Puritan in noted comma, a Puritan is a diseased piece of apocrypha, apocrypha, bind him to the Bible and the corrupts the whole text. Ignorance and fat feed are his founders. His nurses rallying rabbis and round breeches. His life is but a borrowed blast of wind, for between two religions, as between two doors, he is ever whistling. In order to come a close. Fifth, lastly, Overbury practiced a novelty in including some women also among his characters. The most striking phrase and refreshing of his character is the fair and happy milkmaid. As a courtier disgusted with the artificial beauty ads used by sophisticated women of the highest circle of society, he celebrates in glowing terms the natural beauty and innocence of milkmaid. Here is an exact extract from that character. And in noted comma, thou see be not arrayed in the spoil of the silk worm. She is decked in innocence, a far better one wearing. In milking a cow and straining the teats through her finger, it seems that so sweet a milk press makes the milk white or sweeter, for never came almond gloss or aromatic ointment on her palm to tempt it. The golden ears of corn fall and kiss her feet when she reaps them, as if they wished to be wound that led prisoners by the same hand that felled them. John Early, Earle, 1601 to 1665. Overbury's works gave a considerable fillip to character writing in English. Among those who practiced this genre may be mentioned the following. First, John Stephens, Satirical Essay, Character and Others, 1635. Second, Nicholas Breton, 1555 to 1626. Richard Braithwaite, 1588 to 1673. And third, Geoffrey Mansell, 1594 to 1668, Essay and Characters of the Prison and Prisoners, 1618. Character sequence followed almost as thickly as sonnet sequence. But out of all of them, John Early's Microcosmography is the most important and the most interesting. It was first published in 1628 and achieved immediate and well-deserved fame. Early's 78 portraits have lived on till today for he is easily the most attractive of all the character writers. Given below are some important features of his work. First, Early has a greater variety of material. His treatment range over such diverse character as a young rock preacher, a mere formal man, a sea princess hypocrite, and the common singing man in cathedral church. However, as a courtier had better opportunities to see the world than Early, who was a clergyman and for nearly 20 years a fellow of Merton College, Oxford. His clerical and scholarly bias is apparent in his frequent selection of type connected with the church and the university. An old college butler, a young gentleman of the university, a downright scholar, a plodding student, a university don, a pretender to learning, and so forth. Second, Earl is not very exhibitive to his wit, which is generally unobtrusive and polished. However, it sharpens up whenever he deals with hypocrisy, as when he catechizes a pretender to learning, who, as he say, is one that would make other more fools than himself, for though he know nothing, he would not have to word know so much. Third, a novel feature initiated by Earl was a treatment of some inanimate object among his characters. One such character is a tavern. Earl says about it, "A house of sin you may call it, but not a house of darkness, for the candles are never out of it. Is like those countries far in north where it is as clear at midnight as midday." Fourth, much of the charm of Earl's characters lies in his style. Tucker Brooke observed in inverted comma, "Earl has a neat epigrammatic style which if he had lived a century later would have been called Addisonian." Inverted comma close. One of the most remarkable of his portrait is that a child which curiously foreshadows Wordsworth's exaltation of childhood. Mark these words. In noted comma, "The elder he grows, he is stare lower from God, and like his first father, much worse in his breeches. Could he put off his body with his little coat, he had got eternity without a burden, and exchanged but on one heaven for another." In noted comma closed. After all, we find the character shifting from the type to the individual. Samuel Butler's large collection of characters was written in the late 1660, but not published until 1759. Butler was pungently satirical and was chiefly concerned with contemporary follies and fads. However, it is not his character but the character of all which have a clear affinity with the spirit of Tatler and the Spectator. Thereafter, the character, as David Dacey put it in A Critical History of English Literature, "Bold first was ready to join the other stream that followed in the English novel." The topic, characters, writers over. Character writers of the 17th century over.